Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. We're talking to Colorado State this evening. We are moving our way through the Mountain Division. Our website, if you're unaware for some reason, mwcconnection.com is where we're at. You can find us talking nonsense and I guess some football sometimes with Matt Kennerly and Chris Hondres.
Yeah, absolutely. Good evening, everybody.
That's Chris there, if you don't know.
We talk about football every once in a while.
We do sometimes.
Or, you know, how much we hate San Diego State, apparently, in the comments.
Already. It's already started.
It's already started.
It's, yeah. All right, you know, so we're talking Rams. If you've probably heard throughout previous shows, we're not really sure what to make of the Rams part of the time. Here's what we do know. They lose Rashard Higgins, which is a pretty big deal. They lose Corey James at defense, which is also a pretty big deal. They don't have a quarterback at the moment, which obviously, again, it's a pretty big deal. What do we know about the Rams so far? What is any constant they have?
They got Mike Bobo.
Well, you know they're going to run the dang ball, right?
Apparently so.
See, you know, if we're going to start the way that we usually do, which is at quarterback, there's been a lot of talk over the offseason about the new guy that they brought in from Georgia, Faten Bauta. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. That whole thing, am I the only one where that whole situation strikes me as kind of a red herring? Like, do we really think that Nick Stevens is in any serious, you know, peril of losing his job?
Well, I'll tell you, he's coming from SEC territory, so that means he must be good, right?
Eh.
Here's since we're doing the Colorado State show, this news will be far old by then, but I wanted to bring it up right now because this is a pretty big deal. Colorado State and Colorado Planning, you know how they were supposed to cancel the series a while back? The Buffs were like, forget you.
Yes.
Well, apparently we're recording this late June, so this will drop sometime in July, maybe first week of August. June 28th, Colorado State, Colorado Planning on-campus football games 2023-2024.
Good for them.
That's a pretty big deal.
They want to break in the new stadium.
Well, 7 years later, but yeah, sure.
Better late than never, right?
Especially, yeah, and so that's a pretty big deal. So that news will be far old by now, but since we're just now talking about this team, we'll bring that up. So, because I think the series was supposed to end in 2021 or 2022. Because if I recall, the AD from Colorado is basically like, we don't need to play that school. There's no reason to. We'll get to this later, but I wonder if the Rams have a nicer stadium now than what Folsom Field is over there in Boulder. So,
probably most likely.
Boom. All right, so let's get back to the quarterback. What Matt was saying, is this a red herring? I kind of agree with you because, well, if you go to the guys at the Colorado and like Matt Stevens and those guys, they're saying, or not them saying, but observing practice from what they could see and what they're reporting from what Mike Bobo was telling them, there's no starter name, and it's basically a 50-50. Like, it's one of the other guys, one of these two guys, but I have to agree with Matt. Why wouldn't Nick Stevens, he's a multi-year starter, why would he not be the guy?
Here's the problem. If the job is really up for grabs, and this once again, this could be a red herring, this could be a Boise State scenario, just like how Brett Rypien and the quarterback after him are in a quarterback competition.
Careful, the coach may tell you that's false.
No, be careful there.
We might get a blow on us.
But if Nick Stevens is really getting his job sought after, if he really isn't listed as the go-to number one guy right now, I'm very then concerned about Nick Stevens, and I'm very concerned about this quarterbacking. Because Nick Stevens was serviceable last year. 61% completion rate, 21 touchdowns. His interceptions was a little tight, 12 interceptions, and tons of sacks, 15 sacks. But he was serviceable. He didn't need to be great.
And I mean, he was in a similar kind of situation last year with Coleman Key, where it took him a little while to kind of separate himself from Key, but he did it. There were some lumps. You know, he took his lumps early on. They had those two losses early in the non-conference schedule to Colorado and Minnesota. But then he, you know, kind of put it together, and he had an overall nice season. I think, to me, it's just a matter of, you know, is he going to be able to take the next step and be a little more consistent? You know, maybe there's the excuse of some of the injuries that his playmakers dealt with last year. But, you know, if he faces that kind of situation again, is he going to be able to take the next step? To me, that's the more interesting question.
Well, some people are saying with Higgins gone to wide receiver, that's the reason why they may change. But experience has to come for something.
Okay, in defense, right? You just haven't lost Higgins. You've also lost Joe Hansley and Kevon Cartwright. That's pretty much, that's almost 200 targets right there.
That's true. I mean, I'm looking at the splits that he put up last year, you know, and there's a couple of really interesting ones. He was far better in Fort Collins than he was on the road. You know, he was far better in the seven games that they won. He was, you know, 17 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, whereas in the 6 games that they lost, he was at, you know, 4-8. So, you know, if he can be a little more, you know, even keeled from week to week, take care of the football just a little bit more, which I think is one of those things that comes with the experience of being a seasoned starter, I don't really see what the problem is.
I think it's more Mike Bobo, hey, I recruited you, you might get a chance to play here, because he's not playing at Georgia, and they... Because look at Georgia, they also have a new head coach from when Bobo was there, because now they have Kirby Smart. And so it's two coaches removed, essentially, because he's recruited him as OC. Then you have a Mark Rick now at Miami,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, Miami, and then you got now Kirby Smart from Alabama, a defensive coach. Like, well, am I really going to get a chance to play one more year, or should I go somewhere where the guy recruiting me, he knows my skill set, and whatever promise was or wasn't made, by not naming a starter, gives him a chance to come in to play. And so I'm wondering if it's maybe just a favor. Hey, come here. We'll see what you can do. If you're great, great. If not, we'll see. But apparently he wasn't promised anything. Probably just promised, hey, we'll compete. But here's the thing. If that's the case, I think that's a pretty bad job on Bobo, because they don't have Coleman Key anymore. He left the program. And he was going to replace Nick Stevens eventually. And so why would you risk that by bringing in just a guy you recruited at a different school?
Go ahead, Matt.
No, you go ahead first.
Because Mike Bobo, for all jokes and stuff that he gets, he only has one job, and he's got a very strong one here. He needs to run the dang ball, and he's got Dalen Dawkins and Izzy Matthews to do that.
Then why bring in this guy from Georgia? What's the point then if you're going to run the ball more often than not? Why do you need another quarterback and lose a pretty highly recruited guy?
He's a scramble guy?
Yeah, I understand, he's a little bit more of a runner than Stevens is.
Boom, called it.
Yeah, so I mean, I was going to add that, you know, and it's, you know, Colorado State's window, despite the fact that they're losing so many playmakers, they still have an outside shot at making this division very competitive, and you want to be able to have the best guy for that job. Bobo's familiar with them, familiar with his skill set. So while I'm a little apprehensive about handing him the keys to the offense. I mean, I guess I could understand why he might be tempted to do it.
Or it could be just, hey, Nick Stevens, has he ever really had to earn the job?
Well, he had to beat Key last year, so I would say, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just throwing stuff out there a little bit. I don't believe so.
No? Okay.
I think he, from what I'm reading, it says that he wasn't named the starter until the fall.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess so then in that case, it wouldn't surprise me if it were a similar kind of situation where, you know, Bauta gives him a push, but Stevens is a starter and Bauta can settle in as probably one of the conference's better backups.
And here's as well, it's like he's a junior here, so Nick Stevens has 2 years to play. If it's anywhere close to being even, there's no reason to go to the transfer. You stick with Nick Stevens. Because with all what the Rams lost, I like Matt thinks they might make it interesting. They are going to be okay, but they're not. I don't think they're going to be as good as last year.
No, I don't think so either.
It's, that's what I'm saying. If it's close, why restart the process almost again?
Well, I mean, you know, at least what we can say, regardless of whoever is at quarterback, you know, kind of shifting to running back very ungracefully. They've got guys.
That's fine. That's what we do.
Make some plays in the backfield. You know, Dalen Dawkins, I believe, is their returning runner. He had 900 yards last year. They lose Jason Oden, but you know, behind Dawkins is a guy that, you know, to me is a dark horse for being the next breakout star in this conference, Izzy Matthews. What do you guys think?
That's what I was going through. I know our top 50 list is probably outgoing now, but I'm kind of looking to see where people had him at. He's in, like, I believe Phil Still and Athlon's. I think he's in there, like their fourth team or something. I should look it up. But maybe. It's very possible with the offense that we know that's going to happen and what the percentage of run to pass would be. It's very possible, but I think it's still going to be Dawkins number one and then Matthews number two. But I think it's going to be pretty close. I don't know if he'll just surpass Dawkins as the guy. Because the returning yards between the two are, what, about 1,400 yards?
So,
What are you expecting? 1,000 each from the guys almost? 2,000 combined rushing
yards?
Yeah,
and Izzy Matthews had 590 despite being the number three guy last year. But here's the other thing. They bring back Dalen Dawkins. They bring back Izzy Matthews. And, you know, if this Bauta guy is really more of a scrambler, he'll replace Nick Stevens on that kind of a scramble attempts. But here's the thing, and I hate to jump around, but you're also bringing back a very experienced offensive line. So this rush offense has a chance to do even more damage, and those 1,000 yards each could hit it pretty well.
I don't think this is a situation where you're going to see one guy getting like 250 carries. You know, I'm really high on Matthews because I watched him a few times late last year, and he looked awesome every time I saw him run the ball. So, you know, they had him on kind of like a limited workload. He only had 97 carries last year. I mean, but if you give him like 150 to 175 carries, that's a guy that could do some damage and make a big difference.
Yeah.
And it's not just the, you know, the four returners that they have coming back on the line. If I remember correctly, I think they dismiss someone, or is that some? Oh, no, I'm thinking of another team. Excuse me, but they brought in a transfer too from Nebraska, Paul Thurston. So it's, you know, all five guys on the line could potentially be guys who have had starting experience in the past. And that's the kind of asset that's very rare in this conference.
Yeah, like even without the transfer, they have four starters back. It's one, like what Fred said, Zebras could be the best, one of the best linemen in the conference. And the only problem, like, there's not really a problem outside of, well, I shouldn't say there's not really a problem, but Rashard Higgins is probably the, could he be the school's, like, best player ever to come from Colorado State almost?
If not, then it definitely goes to Kevon Cartwright.
What about
Brad? Well, we got Bradley Van Pelt, who's a great QB, did some good things, but I'd have to look. Excuse me?
Shaquille Barrett.
Okay, you got Shaq, but I'm just trying to think of top of my head. Like, one of the best players ever from the school is him. He was a Blitnikoff finals 2 years ago. He was okay last year, but they lose Hansley, Cartwright. Like, they lose three of their top five receivers, three of their top six receivers from last year. And we've seen what Bobo has done before Georgia. Like, he'll run the ball, but he's also good at people get focused on the run. He wants to go deep and go downfield, isolate receivers. If they're sticking eight guys to stop the run, it's going to be single coverage. And it's kind of discerning that Higgins couldn't take advantage of that last year. And hard for me when Dalen Dawkins is your leading receiver back, your actual leading wide receiver, Xavier Williams had just 19 catches from last year. I know they're not going to throw a ton, but who's going to step up to be, not to replace Higgins, that's very difficult, but who's going to be a guy to get 55 receptions on this team?
No, first of all, Dawkins and Williams were both close. I mean, you can't deny that. So even if they're just kind of wide receiver screens, running back screens, I think you won't have to worry about that. My biggest concern is actually, I don't know if you've taken a close look at it, Nick Stevens had 12 interceptions last year. Fatten Bauta was 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions when he did play in limited appearances last year. But then you look at the running backs. Dawkins had 5 fumbles, lost 5 fumbles. Izzy Matthews didn't fumble once, which is why he's going to be your kind of go-to guy. Stevens fumbled 4 times, lost 2 of those. Deontay Gaines, who's your wide receiver on those Wildcat formations, fumbled twice. You've got high turnover ability, which is good. It's kind of weird to say, but you have a problem holding on to the ball when you're in the offense, and that is one thing that definitely needs to improve if you're going to continue to improve this offense. Those fumbles, you can't have within your top 3 guys of running back, you can't have 9 fumbles losing 7 of them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in any given season, that's probably not likely to happen again if you're just thinking about the concept of fumble luck, you know?
There is an element of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, as far as who's going to replace Higgins and things like that, I mean, I know that Higgins was dealing with injuries off and on last year, but there are some interesting guys coming up behind him. You know, they've got a big target in a guy like Xavier Williams, who's 6'4", 215. You know, that's a guy who could win some, you know, fade passes and be a really significant red zone target. And the Denver Post made a note of, you know, guys like Danny Nwosu at tight end and Olabisi Johnson as guys who are worth watching, I think, as this offense continues to grow together.
Who'd you say before?
The tight end Danny Nwosu and Olabisi Johnson.
I do not see Danny Nwosu on here.
Oh, okay. Well,
so he might be a JUCO transfer.
Well, he was converted from fullback, if that makes a difference. But you know, he could be a guy that replaces Cartwright, and not only Cartwright but Stephen Walker at tight end.
Okay. Yeah, and Stephen Walker was an effective tight end as well. Let's not forget to mention that.
He's listed as fullback on this preview you're looking at, so that's why you don't see him down there. I think Gaines could be a guy maybe because he's obviously athletic enough to take those shotgun snaps, whatever they did last year with him. So I maybe see him a bit more. But I don't think Bobo's screwing around or just messing with people or giving the guy a favor to be a quarterback challenge. I think the line will be fine. The sacks will be farly reduced because remember, 2 years ago they had Travis. Oh god, crap. He's with starting the Broncos. The offensive lineman.
Tyson
Samberlini. No, was it Samberlini?
No idea who you're talking about.
He's left tackle that was drafted early in the NFL draft 2 years ago with the Broncos. You're 2 years removed from that, but like the line's going to be great. Sacks will be reduced. They need to work on ball control, but I think if they find their quarterback, and I think I'm going to say it's Nick Stevens because it makes the most sense. I think the only thing they really need to worry about is finding consistent guys who can catch the ball. Maybe these guys just need a chance because when you have Cartwright, Higgins, and Hansley taking up the overwhelming majority of the targets and tosses your way, maybe Williams just needs a chance to be targeted 60 times. Or 80 times, or somebody else, Deontay Gaines, needs more targets. Maybe that's the case. You lose a lot of talent, but these guys all played last year. But my opinion is that if they They're going to settle on Stevens. It's going to take like a week in camp. He'll be named a guy. Whoever, if they get find some good wide receivers, I think the offense could be pretty good, but we don't know who's going to be catching the ball. That's the only issue I really have. Quarterback should be fine. Running back will be fine as well. Yeah, he loses Odin, but like I said, if we expect Matthews to be what others are saying, what we're saying, what we saw late last year, because the second half last year, they were better than the first half for the most part. I think they just need to find a couple receivers who will step up and go forward, and that could be the difference for them being, say, maybe winning 8 games compared to 4.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if those are final thoughts on the offense, we'll move on to the defense. But interesting note before we do, do we know if Dalton Fackrell is related to Kyle
Fackrell?
Yeah,
that is an excellent question.
He played at Snow College.
Very possibly.
And it was from South Jordan, Utah. I don't know where Kyle Fackrell
is. Yep. That would 90% sure. I'll look and see, but you guys go to defense. I'll look it up.
I feel like another Fackrell brother somewhere playing offense rather than defense. I think that could be a huge help, especially since he's listed as a tight end, 6'4", 240. Well, he could play both, you know, tight end and linebacker. But moving on to the defense.
It says Kyler really quick. It says Kyler Fackrell, he went to high school in Arizona, but he may have moved with his family, even though South Jordan is nowhere near Logan, Utah. That's something, possibility.
Maybe cousins or something. I'm concerned about this defensive line.
Why is that?
Matt's laughing. For their top 4 guys, they basically replaced their whole defensive line completely.
So is this like Nevada then?
This could be a situation that's worse than Nevada. Because literally the guys who came behind them did not record a single sack.
Well, to me, it's not only that, but it's not like they were any great shakes at stopping the run last year, too. You know, for as much flack as we've given Nevada off and on, Colorado State was just a little bit worse in stopping the run throughout last year. They gave up about just a shade over 5 yards a carry. They gave up 27 touchdowns on the ground. And now you're talking about losing guys like Kowalek and things like that who, you know, for all their faults, were still kind of difference makers. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on the guys coming up behind them, guys like, you know, Josh Lovingood or Johnny Shupp and guys like that. You know, are they going to be able to not only kind of maintain that kind of mediocrity that the Rams had, especially on the run last year, but are they going to be able to be a factor in bringing down quarterbacks or anything like that?
And that's kind of to go along with it. I mean, we talk about teams like Hawaii and UNLV and you know, San Jose State, where if you can bring bad up to merely just subpar or even average, you're looking at a good team here. This was a team that was subpar at best last year, and now you're completely replacing a whole front with, you know, some guys who played last year but aren't very experienced.
Barely.
And really don't have the stats to match.
Yeah, injuries, lack of experience. They do have, like, there's some young guys like Daryl Thompson or these true freshmen or redshirt freshmen that have rated highly recruiting-wise, but when did you want to base your front four on guys who either have never played college football or have played, like, 7 games in a year? That can't add up to be anything good.
And you're going to have to be more reliant on the linebacking core, which is very strong this year. You only lose Corey James, which is very strong, but really, how much of the linebacking core, you know, they can give up those tackles, but they're still going to give up, as Matt said, they're still going to give up those 4 or 5 yards once you get to the linebacking core, unless you're blitzing linebackers every single down. And when that happens, then it's just easy dump-off passes.
Or you'll have, let's go 4 wide outs and 1 running back and just go up the middle when you have the experienced and just do a delayed draw or something and there's no linebackers to help tackle.
See, the nice thing is that, you know, speaking just for me, I think these linebackers could be really good if they can find, if, you know, if the guys in front of them can just hold up a little bit. You know, you start with the guy in the middle, Kevin Davis, who was one of the most prolific tacklers in the conference last year. He was, you know, he led the team with 14 tackles for loss from the middle, which seems like a pretty big deal, if you ask me. But even the guys, you know, next to him, Josh Watson, Deontay Clyburn, those are guys who could be difference makers from week to week. I don't see any reason why they can't be pretty stout against the run and then also defend against the tight ends that they're going to face week in and week out in this conference.
Here's one thing as well. They have that buck position, and so I'm wondering if they may compensate by putting some of these linebackers at that essentially defensive end linebacker spot, just because if they're so inexperienced, they may have to. I don't know. I'm just kind of shooting the wind here and trying to think what they may do to help bring more experienced players in or better players on the field. Maybe these guys who are playing like Trey Thomas, maybe, I don't know, Evan Colatorio or somebody, Patrick Einsbach there, they may stick him in every now and then at that buck spot if they can play that DN position and linebacker. That might be something they do, but then you're still weakening everything else. Like if you have to switch positions or move players around to fill a hole, you're going to have a hole somewhere else.
But also you're talking about a defensive unit as a whole that did not turn over the ball very much. And from that, I'm going to take a quick look at the secondary, because you're only bringing back Tyree Simmons, who did very well, and Preston Hodges, but you lost Kevin Pierre-Lewis and Trent Matthews, and a huge loss in Trent Matthews. You know, he was your central ball hawk. So, I mean, Jake Schlager can replace him, but that's a question of, will he have done enough to replace, you know, the job that Trent Matthews did? And you've got to replace those free safety and strong safety slots. It's looking bad. Where Colorado State is going to fly or fall this year is not necessarily on the offense, because we know they're going to run the ball and they're going to dump pass and, you know, do some deep passes if they can. But really what's going to help them fly or fall, even when, if we're talking about bowl game this year, is how much can their defense improve after, based off how much they've lost.
That's true. I mean, it's, you know, the secondary especially is going to be very critical. You know, not only Schlager, who I guess was known more as a special teams guy last year, but they're also moving Jordan Vaden from wide receiver to corner, which I think is a really interesting move. And, you know, the thing that I look at is, you know, with regards to big plays, is something that I've talked about with other teams in the past. Last year, they were pretty good against defending big plays in the, you know, through the air. They only gave up 92 plays of 10 yards or more, which was good for fourth in the conference. But when you're replacing so many guys and there's so many kind of unknowns at really important positions, are they going to be able to maintain that level of stoutness? I'm not totally sure, but that's one thing that I would keep an eye on.
All right, so I think we can just, since we got to make this show a little bit shorter, are we good with the defense, you think?
Can we give a shout-out to Hayden Hunt while we're
yeah!
at it?
Yeah! JUCO transfer. Sure. No, he's not. No, he's not. My bad. I'm sorry.
Ray Guy finalist, though.
He is a Ray Guy finalist.
That's right.
The punter. Oh, I was looking at his name directly, too.
ESPN preseason All-American punter Hayden Hunt as well. So,
also, Wyatt Bryan, pretty good for a walk-on freshman last year.
Yeah.
He was a walk-on freshman?
He was a walk-on. So did he finally get scholarshiped? That's the question.
I'm not sure, better. But I know that he was 14 of 16 from within 40 yards.
Which is pretty darn effective. And you're talking about 43 of 46 point after attempts. So they're pretty good in the special teams unit. They actually haven't lost. Looks like they're going to keep it the same.
Well, Joe Hansley is a big loss, but I think Deontay.
Yeah, but
okay.
I mean, he really wasn't that. He had two touchdowns, but overall, outside of those two touchdowns, his average was actually much, much worse than Gaines. He only had three more returns as a punt returner. I think Preston Hodges can do a serviceable job.
All right, no, that's true. I think they'll be okay. Scoring a couple touchdowns, special teams. It's hard to make that up. But let's get to schedules. Since we talked about pretty much every team so far, we're not going to spend as much time on all these opponents, but as we mentioned earlier in the show, they play Colorado, which I guess is going to continue being an annual thing. This is a pretty good spot for them. It's Friday nights at in Denver at Mile High Field there. It's on ESPN, so it's not on Pac-12 Network. It's not on CBS College Sports, CBS Sports Network. That's been a while since it's been college. But there's not, as looking at the schedule, there's not many games competing that Friday night, so there'll be a decent amount of people who want college football. This will kind of be like that game on Fox Sports 1 a couple years ago. Wasn't that the game where, who was the running back? They had a huge, they were getting beat pretty bad. It was, Capri Bibbs, right? Where he just blew it up in the second half against Colorado's on Fox Sports 1. This will give them the same exposure where this will be one of the few games. I think the only other game, I should look it up, I think Arizona plays UTSA that night, I want to say. But there's not many games on, that's my point. And people will be tuning in to see this game. And Colorado lost. Who they want, Matt? Wasn't Davis Webb they're trying to get, but he ended up at Cal instead.
So.
And so they... But they still have, what's his name? Seffi Louisville. He's a pretty good QB, but it's also it's the Buffaloes.
But remember that Colorado beat Colorado State in overtime last year. So in order for Colorado State, I really to think get a good season started, they have to beat Colorado this year.
I think that they will, because they should not have lost that game last
year. No, there was no reason they should have lost that game last year.
I mean, they outgained them on offense. The problem was they turned the ball over twice, including that really critical interception return that the Buffaloes had. They dominated time of possession. They dominated on the ground. And, they just kind of shot themselves in the foot more often than they really could afford. And to really ask that to happen again is something that I don't foresee personally. So I think that this is a game the Rams should win, and they will win comfortably.
Who's Colorado's running back? That's the only concern I may have, is if they go off for a big game on the ground.
Well, if you keep talking about it for a minute, I can look
it
up.
I don't know, but okay, so some trivia. And by the way, I think this is Mike McIntyre's year four get fired for Colorado. So I have a feeling that Colorado will pull out the win again by a field goal. I know that's me being a hater, but I think that there's going to be too many weaknesses on Colorado State to win that game. But fun fact, when was the last time this game was played in Fort Collins?
Couple years ago, it was on the Mountain Network.
No. It wasn't since 1996, when Colorado was the number 5 team.
Really?
That was the last time the game was played in Fort Collins. So,
there was a threat of playing home and home or something.
So
recently.
Yeah, because they used to do Boulder and Denver, but with this new stadium opening, you think that's going to be a huge factor for Colorado State getting in their own stadium. But if they can kind of...
Well, we already mentioned 23-24 working on campus game, moving it from Denver.
Okay,
so
to answer the previous question, Colorado's leading returning running back is Philip Lindsay, who had 650 yards rushing last year, averaged 4.7 yards a carry. So not bad, but not quite the playmaker I think you might have expected.
Okay, so if they stop the run, they'll be okay. I'm going to go victory. I'm going to go home rush and say we should win because Colorado's proved me wrong. I know Buffalo's won last year, but they're basically this game wouldn't surprise me who wins, but I'll go with the Rams just because. So Chris, let's go to UTSA. We'll keep this quickly. The Roadrunners, that's an interesting matchup because I think the Roadrunners get a bit more pub because of who they played and kind of beat or been close to beating.
Yeah, I see nothing.
But they're not a good team, though. They played it close to Arizona a couple years ago. They played close to a couple teams, but then they just fall
UTSA
apart.
Is a team that should be good because of where they're located, because of the recruits that they can get, and their head coach whatever you say, team. Larry Coke or whatever. But they just aren't. Hey. And there's no reason why Colorado State shouldn't just blow UTSA out of the water. It'll be a very strong group of five win.
I can't disagree. I mean, UTSA is like an okay Conference USA team. But again, if Colorado State wants to be taken seriously, this is a game that they have to win.
Especially at home, you're not
looking at a team in the Roadrunners that's very dynamic. You know, they had a quarterback who was learning kind of on the fly last year in Dalton Sturm. But, you know, they do have a 1,000-yard rusher that they'll have to deal with in Jarvion Williams. You know, they have, you know, a couple of playmakers that they'll have to deal with, you know, and wide receiver. But, again, I don't really see this, you know, I don't see UTSA as a real threat to the Rams.
No, absolutely not. I'm thinking 2 touchdowns minimum.
They should win, but here's the thing. The way the Rams play, like they lost to Colorado last year, I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow lose this game, but they shouldn't.
So is that a win or a lose?
That's a win for me. I'm just saying, don't be shocked if they stumble for some reason against a team that Rams have probably not a ton more talent, but enough more talent where they should win. But it wouldn't surprise me if something weird happens and they lose. So they'll beat Colorado, Northern Colorado, the week after. So I'm pegging 3-0 here. This game's pretty big. Minnesota, they're not a great Big Ten team. Last year's game was, I think, assuming Nick Stevens is the guy, he wants this game back to play better against Golden Gophers. It's out on the road. I'm assuming it'll be on Big Ten Network. Probably it's not decided yet, but Minnesota, they go 7-6 last year, I believe.
But you know what the issue with this Minnesota team is?
Their defense.
They run.
Right?
They run the ball all day long.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Remember the San Jose State game? Where the guy quarterback like 1 for 3 or something passing, and they rushed like crazy?
Well, can I just say that, you know, if you look back at the box score of this game last year, you could say the same thing about this game that I said about the Colorado game, is that they really should not have lost.
No, you're absolutely right. They had every indication to win.
Yeah, I mean, because this was the kind of thing where I think, you know, they were still dealing with the quarterback controversy. I saw that Coleman Key was the leading passer in this game. But, you know, again, they turned the ball over 4 times, which I don't think is likely to happen again. You know, they averaged 4.2 yards a carry, which isn't terrible. But I think if you get a good Nick Stevens game, which, again, is really critical because he was not as good on the road last year as he was at home, if you can get a good Nick Stevens game on the road this time around, I think it'll be close. I'm kind of hedging my bets a little bit, though. I have this one marked as a loss.
Yeah, I've got this one marked as a loss as well.
Yeah, it's more likely loss than win. But it's also not like the Gophers scare anybody, really, right?
The only Mountain West teams.
They scare Spartans?
Yeah, they scare Spartans. All right, Wyoming, win.
Win.
Yeah, they'll win here. And then this stretch is pretty tough. Wyoming, not that that's a tough game, but rival.
Ryan Hill.
I know, I'm just saying, but here. Rival, host Utah State, at Boise State, at UNLV. That's probably their toughest stretch of the year, I would say, just about.
So this is one.
Is that correct, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of those things, real quick. I could see them actually losing the Wyoming game just because of the issues that we've talked about on the defense.
And if it's not fixed by week 5.
If it's not fixed by week 5, absolutely. But right now I'm marking them down as a win. I think they can beat Utah State, but this is going to sound crazy. I think then they lose to Boise, which is not crazy, but then they lose to UNLV the week after.
I have been going 3-1 in this stretch. I think the only clear loss in my eyes is, you know, against Boise State, because winning at Boise is really hard for anybody.
And the Rams have never shown they could compete with Boise either since joining the conference.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for as much as we talk about the weaknesses on this defense, you do want to remember that they have a clearly defined strength of running the ball on their own on offense, which I think, you know, Wyoming, we've talked about, their defense has a lot of holes in it themselves. Utah State, I have some lingering questions about how they're going to replace a lot of their playmakers. And, you know, same thing with UNLV. UNLV's, you know, undersized. They'll have more depth, but will it be good enough to kind of make up the difference this year?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I think 3-1 is what they should go. But I would not be surprised they lose two of those games. But I would go two or three wins, but it's probably where I'd put them at. Like, the most likely loss is Utah State and Boise State. I mean, all right, then
I was going to say it's that last four game stretch that I think is, you know, kind of put up or shut up time for the Rams, because you get,
I guess, the running defense. Yeah, that's a big deal.
So you get, you know, home for Fresno State, at Air Force, home against New Mexico, and then you close out the season in San Diego against the Aztecs
with Pumphrey. Pum.
I have them going 1-3 in here.
Who's the one win?
Fresno.
Sorry, Matt.
You don't have to apologize to me. I get it.
Hey, Matt's not on the team to defend himself, so.
See, I have them at 2-2 because I had them beating New Mexico. I also have them beating Fresno State. But it's that same question of, you know, can they get that big win on the road? And I think, you know, having to go to, I mean, maybe the three best teams in the conference, having to play at each of their stadiums, is going to be a really tall task for this Rams team, and I don't have a good feeling about it right now.
They might lose all their games away from home.
It's extremely possible. It's extremely possible. But
yeah, that, Colorado, but that being said, Minnesota.
But that being said, I mean, if they, for me, if they stumble into a win either at Air Force or versus New Mexico, that puts them at 6-6 with me.
I still think they're a bowl team. I just think they're going to be a team that's going to teeter, kind of like what I said with San Jose State. I'm more confident that the Rams could get it, but they're not going to beat San Diego State. Odds of them beating the Air Force are pretty slim. They're not beating Boise State. They're probably going to lose to New Mexico. Could be lose to New Mexico. Like, if you go just the road schedule, they honestly, UNLV is probably their only for sure win away from
but
home.
But it's not, because Bill C has them at 55% or 56% win probability. So it's not even.
That's still a pretty good deal. If you're that percentage, I think that's good enough. I'm just saying that's the most likely win they'll get on the road. Look at the percentages for Air Force, San Diego State, and Boise State, or even Minnesota. Those are all much higher.
Yeah, I got it.
That's what I'm just saying.
Well,
like, the most likely.
New Mexico, their favorite.
Yeah, well, they're at home, but that's
Air Force. My bad.
They are favored at Air Force?
No. Or, they're underdogs at Air Force.
Oh. I think a bowl game is a possibility, but they're going to. If they're going to upset anybody on the road, it's going to be Minnesota. Like, if I'd go road win probability, even include Colorado, it'd probably be UNLV, Colorado, then Minnesota. And I think they need to win two of those to go to a bowl game, and I think they can. They could win all three of those, but I think they need to win two of those to be somewhat comfortable, because they'll beat UTSA, they should. Northern Colorado's four. You have Wyoming and Fresno. Let's just, because we got to kind of move this along, wrap it up, but I think 6-6 is where they land, and they're just going to be a bowl game, be just kind of an okay team. But the next year is where I think there could be some big jumps with a senior quarterback, Izzy Matthews, upperclassman, and the defense actually having depth on the front line, or at least the front four.
I have them going 5-7.
Ooh.
So, but that should and very well could be a 6-6.
What about you, Matt?
I guess that makes me the optimist. I have them at 8-4 and 5-3 in conference. So don't let me down, guys.
So where do you see an 8 wins at? Where are you coming along on that front?
So I have them going 3-1 in non conference. I have them beating Colorado, UTSA, Northern Colorado. And I have them mostly holding court at home. I have them beating Wyoming, beating Utah State, and then winning at UNLV, home versus Fresno, and then home versus New Mexico.
That makes perfect sense, but I think that's pretty much their ceiling.
And see, I think if everything comes together a year early, their ceiling is even higher than that. This is one of those handful of teams that, in my opinion, could win the conference if everything goes their way.
Whoa. Really?
That's if everything goes their way.
You know, that's if Nick Stevens takes a step forward from last year to this year. You know, if the guys who are replacing Higgins and Hansley are, you know, the equivalent kind of playmakers that those guys were. If they solve the defensive line quandary, and if they find guys to kind of replace people in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if all that happens, they're a very competitive team, and we know what their strengths are.
That's pretty bold there. I can't get that high to say they're going to be that close. I can see maybe 8 wins. Like honestly, I could probably see them starting, if everything goes great, 6-0, where they beat Colorado, beat Minnesota, Wyoming, all those other guys, 6-0. And then sitting at maybe 7 wins after UNLV losing to Boise, and maybe beating like Fresno or New Mexico combo. I could be talked into 9, but I could see 8 wins as not being some miraculous something that's way out of left field where they go win 8 games. I just think it'll take them beating like Minnesota, who they very well could beat Minnesota. They don't scare me. They're not that great. They're an okay team in the Big Ten, maybe bowl eligible, but I think I could see 8 wins, but I'm not going to predict it. I think that's like their best case. So, Matt, if you're saying 8-4, and then you go conference title as a possibility, if they win the conference title or compete for that, are you saying them more than 8 wins?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they catch some breaks, like it might mean, you know, beating 2 of Boise, Air Force, and San Diego State. Like if they can beat, you know, maybe Air Force and the Aztecs. And, you know, if they lose to Boise, but Boise, you know, flames out in a week or two, loses a couple of non-conference games, or rather a couple of conference games, you know, you could see the Rams in the conference title game.
Okay, that's interesting. No, that's something definitely to look out for. We'll see if they do that or not. For me, they got to prove it to me. I don't think that could be the case, but, hey, I've been wrong before. So, what's new, right? There's stuff that happens, but that's... It's pretty bold. I think that's coming next year, not this year, but that's perfectly fine. Because I see they have the talent. I can't go with that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not that confident as you are that they could be in a conference championship game.
Yeah, I think, I think they're going to just struggle to get to a bowl game this year. But if they do, it shouldn't be surprising.
All right, so that's our show for tonight. I got somewhere to be in about 90 seconds here, so we'll wrap this up really quick. Matt Kennerly says conference titles in the works, 8-4. Chris, you're going at 5-7, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going 6-6. Our next show will be Utah State. We'll be recording that probably, we'll see, pretty soon. But check us out, mwcconnection.com. That's our website. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play. We're anywhere of those places to listen to this glorious show. Give us a review. Let us know how you feel, but...
What you want, we got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voices about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches, and Kiss can grin the bridges. We do some good interviews, and you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Estee,